Well, it's your turn. Okay. Bless you.
Morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here again in Manning, way far away. And you have a beautiful day outside. We left Edmonton and it was cold and rainy, so we're pretty impressed that you've got such nice weather here today. I'm sure you are too. Well, we've been home since December and traveling. We have driven in a car. We've driven in a motorhome that had a few breakdowns, and we came up here in a friend's plane, a small plane. So we've been kind of trekking all over the place, keeping very busy. And at the end of August, we're due to head back. Our kids are, they used to come up here with us. I don't know if anybody remembers them. They're both all grown up and married, and our daughter just had our first grandchild. So for the last month, we've been we've been on cloud nine. I say I've got baby brain now. But anyway, I want to just bring you greetings from Mozambique as well. When we left Mozambique in December, all the mission staff and the personnel there gathered around us, probably about 40 people, and they prayed for us so that our time here at home, at our home, would be blessed, and that we would be able to share effectively the challenges there, the needs there, and as well as their thanksgiving to you all for partnering with us and supporting the work there for so long. They have a real appreciation for what the church in Canada and what supporters in Canada do. It enables them to achieve education for the kids, a whole host of things, and all of that is what enables the kingdom of God to be spread and to grow there as well. And so I just want to bring you their greetings. And in fact, this morning I got a quick message on Facebook. Yes, people out there do have cell phones, and some are actually on Facebook. It's quite interesting to see things developing and growing. But the chairman of our board, the Mozambican board of the mission out there, sent a message and said he just wanted to send his greetings, and he said, please have people pray for Mozambique. There's been a lot of political unrest for a while now, but right now it's specifically right in our area. There's a military convoy that goes right past the mission farm. So even for the mission and for our efforts, we are a bit hampered by that, in that to get to our school, we have to go on the highway, and to get to town, we have to go on the highway. So we have to be careful what times we go, and they don't really want us to travel without the military convoy, which only goes once a day. So there are some things. There are also talks going on between the warring parties. So please pray for peace in Mozambique. We know that God is able to do what man cannot do, of course. That's how we get anything done. And so we just commit Mozambique to the Lord and ask that he would work in hearts. I have a few animals. In fact, some people have already bought a couple. So if you see them on the table out back, among all our other paperwork and so on, these are handmade by women in Mozambique. And we have a whole sewing room there. And we sell the crafts that are made there for the literacy program, for women and girls who cannot read. And that is about 70%, 70 to 80% of women in rural Mozambique can't read. So if you would imagine that 70% of the women here can't read, you wouldn't be able to read your Bible. You couldn't read the instructions on medication labels. You wouldn't be able to help your kids with schoolwork. So that's heavy on my heart, and that's why I'm quite excited to bring this up. So that's what these little guys are. If you want one, there's still some left out there, $5 each. And if anybody can tell me what animal this is, you can come take this one. Yeah, there you go. You want him? We make other crafts. That's hand-sewn. The other crafts are made on old Singer treadle machines, you know, the foot ones, and then they have the hand crank ones. You don't really see them anymore. They're actually wonderful. But all this enables women to grow in their faith and to be a strong family member, to mentor their children, teach their children, and in their communities to become representatives of Christ. And there's a little bit more about it in the video that we'll be showing. This is a fridge magnet. If anybody has any of the old ones and you want to get a new one, we have no kids in this one, I'm sorry. It's just the two of us now, the old people. And it's just a prayer reminder, because we know that you go in your fridge probably more than once a day like we do. And so with that, let's go on into the video if it's queued up. Again, it's a pleasure to be with you and good to see you all.
Lifting people out of poverty, out of darkness, out of slavery happens when people encounter someone who can show them the way. When they encounter someone who is willing to walk with them through the long, challenging, and seamlessly impossible journey, that's someone who introduces them to their Heavenly Father, whose power and never-failing love knows no bounds. And when they find this person, they find the chance to walk into a new future and the chance to change their world. Following the many years of war, which devastated Mozambique's economy and infrastructure, broken people returned to destroyed homes and overgrown fields. Although many who fled the violence heard the gospel and met Christ in refugee camps, they returned home with very shallow understanding of God's word and little knowledge of how to disciple or lead others. Their need was for training which would empower them to provide sound Christ-centered servant leadership to their churches and be that someone who could initiate change in their communities. SAM Ministries launched a program that serves those who are already recognized as leaders in their community. This program provides training for these key people, enabling them to grow and learn without having to leave their homes and leadership responsibilities. Besides a core Bible program, which includes discipleship and practical application, a leadership program was included. This leadership program focuses on the important habits and skills that equip a leader to move people from darkness to light and from destructive past to constructive futures.
Since I started studying the program, I've seen a lot of changes in my personal life, in my family life, but also in our churches, and I've learned a lot during my time in the program.
We now have around 600 leaders enrolled in more than 50 locations in 5 provinces of the country. The program takes more than 6 years to complete, but this enables strong mentoring relationships to be built. These relationships, in turn, enable a ministry of presence that sustains leaders through the highs and lows throughout these many years. It also provides the context for engaging these leaders in development projects that help meet their very physical needs and helps to lift them out of economic poverty.
I've seen a lot of changes in my church. We already have 2 church members that have graduated from the program, and the changes have been dramatic, especially in the lives of the women who have also started to study.
Due to high illiteracy rates, especially amongst women, a literacy, health, and Bible program was launched to help address this need. The program called Let's Stand Up has effectively taught women to read, some of whom have continued on to study our leadership training program. The program has also enabled some women to learn new skills and earn an income to support their families. Women who graduate are standing up and making a profound difference in their rural communities. Our mission base in the Manica province in central Mozambique is constantly developing and being better equipped to serve the important ministries that are addressing critical needs. Our 2,375-acre land boasts a multi-purpose training facility, mission housing, a maintenance facility and woodwork shop, areas for vegetable and fruit production for our feeding programs, as well as land for the breeding of cattle for our animal traction program. Our airstrip and light aircraft give us the ability to reach remote and distant locations, expanding the places we're able to serve. From the destruction and devastation we came to in the early 90s to the change and transformation we see in lives and communities today, we have the confidence and hope that as we persevere, the future will be reality beyond what we can ask for or even imagine.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you. As Lynn said, thank you right up front from the bottom of our hearts and from everyone we represent for your faithful and constant prayers and support over the years. Next year, it will be 30 years that we've been missionaries, if you can believe it. We look too young for that, don't we? So, it's been quite a lot of years, and it's hard to believe that we've survived this long. People, when we first said we were going to the mission field, they said, well, you're going to die and your kids are going to die with you out there. And so, they weren't always that encouraging, but we have survived, and it's awesome to be here. I just want to say that the video you've seen is just all glory and praise to God for what He's doing. It's a small part of what's happening. If we have to put everything in a video and show you what's going to happen, it would take us 20 minutes or more to try to cover the ground, and most people don't want to sit and listen that long. So we've broken them up into sort of four-minute videos. We've left a few others with your pastor, and maybe he'll show you those in the months to come. I just want to encourage you, these days there's no reason for ignorance. The internet is an amazing place. It can be a very terrible place, I know that. But if you connect with us, take our card. We have a Facebook site. We've got a new website that's just being launched as of the first of the coming month, 1st of July. And on there you can track the projects that you've seen. We're introduced today by Corey. Thank you, Pastor Corey, for giving those as options. But you can track the progress toward achieving those projects, and you can pray with us about those projects. Maybe you can't give. You know what? That's okay. But you can pray. And your prayers can stimulate and touch others who can give. So never feel like you can't engage in mission. You are imperative. And we just want to encourage you to connect, like us on Facebook. That way you'll get the updates. Maybe you don't go on Facebook. Our website on our blog spot actually has all our Facebook feed. So you don't even have to be exposed to all the negative stuff of bad friends, okay? So that's the new thing happening on our website. So please take advantage of that. And that way you can stay in touch even though we're not around in this case it was 4 years. And part of that was coming back, getting our kids married off, both married to wonderful spouses. Our son found a wonderful Ukrainian wife, and God has now taken him to Minneapolis, where he's working at the University of Minneapolis of Minnesota in research. And God is using him in unique ways, and our daughter, as well as a teacher working in Fort McMurray. So that's been a new challenge for us, as you guys all know about the Fort McMurray experience that just happened. And she was evacuated pregnant, so 2 weeks before she gave birth, we were able to be there by God's grace, and we were able to be there for the whole process. So this has just been an amazing time. Sorry. Oh, and her husband's a firefighter as well. So naturally, it was rather traumatic. We were in Grand Prairie at the conference, and she was being evacuated, and then she was in Edmonton, and of course, the firefighters, from their perspective, the whole city was burning down. There was little they could do, they felt like, to stop it. And so it was pretty overwhelming. And so there were times our daughter called us and she said, I'm going to lose my husband and I've got a baby on the way. And so it was rather emotional, to say the least. But God was gracious and really intervened in so many ways. So we're so grateful as a family for that. I'm here to leave a challenge with you, because I know that walking with the Lord and being effective for Him, first of all, is what He wants of us, but I also know that it's a challenge. And so I want to share with you what I've titled a fundamental principle for endurance. How is it that we've been able to survive 30 years on the mission field? How is it that you as an individual Christian can be effective in impacting your world around you without losing steam? That's an important one. Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, and I want you to go there if you have your Bibles or iPads or cell phones. This is about the only time I'm going to let you look at your cell phone. No, just kidding. The passage here is found under personal remarks. In other words, here Paul has been teaching Timothy, a young man in the faith, who he is helping Timothy to kind of know what are the important things that Timothy needs to do as a young minister of the faith. And then he comes to the end of the second book, and under personal remarks, he starts talking very transparently to Timothy about a lot of things. And it's kind of interesting. You go, ooh, I don't know if that's very politically correct. I don't think, you know, I would do that to a brother in faith. But Paul's very transparent because he wants, and I love the Word of God. It's very honest. It doesn't pull any punches, right? And right at the very end, then after sort of these personal comments, as part of his personal comments, he says this in verse 16 and 17. Timothy, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, he says, but the Lord stood by my side and gave me the strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Okay, you guys all know I'm a missionary from Africa. We're going to have a lion story at the end. So stay plugged in and you'll hear the lion story, okay? Paul says these words, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. I want to say this morning, so that through you the message might be fully proclaimed and all those who haven't heard the true and the full message of Jesus Christ might hear it. As Christians, when we become people of faith, there is always a so that. There's always a purpose for what we go through. And that purpose, Paul very clearly states here. The most important thing for you and I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what you think your weaknesses and failures are or what your limitations are. The great desire that God has, I don't even care how old you are, by the way, young or old, the great desire that God has for your life and my life is that we be agents through which His full message can be declared to people who have never heard it. That's it, guys. That's what our lives in Christ are about. Yeah, we do a lot of other things, but God wants to ensure that we understand that that purpose never gets lost in our lives. Yeah, our giftings are different, and that's why the message needs to be fully declared. Like you say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I know that. A lot of us don't feel equipped to necessarily share Christ the way someone else can. We don't feel like we have the same gifts. But you know what? You have unique gifts, and God wants to use those in a very unique way to declare His full message. I say to people, you know how many times someone needs to hear the gospel before they accept Christ? Well, I've shared with my neighbor two or three times, and he's just such a stone-cold-hearted guy, he never wants to hear. Do you know they say the average it takes, and that's the average. In other words, there are some people who need to hear it a lot more times. Six times is what people, the amount of times people need to hear the gospel clearly and understand it before they'll actually make a commitment to Christ. That's pretty profound, right? So that means we can't give up. That means in little ways and big ways, we have to keep planting the seeds so that they can really understand who this message is. Now, for Paul, I think it's one thing that's really important I want to say this morning. For Paul, we need to remember that the message that Paul was talking about was not just some ideas or some theology, some profound concepts. That's not who the message was for Paul. Do you remember what happened to Paul? His name was Saul, and he was going around persecuting Christians. And he was off to get some more and round them up, and suddenly he got knocked down. And when he was knocked down, I mean, I guess he realized, goodness gracious, you know, someone must be pretty powerful to knock me down. And he said, Lord, who are you? And what was the answer? Do you guys remember? The answer he got was, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. That's what the answer he got. So for Paul, the message was very simple. It was Jesus. That's the message. And Paul had a conviction about that message, about that person, Jesus, who was Lord. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And that's what he was confident could bring change into lives. And I believe as never before, the church in North America needs to get back to that. We need to get back to understanding who the message is. It's not about our pet doctrines, guys. It's about a person in the name of Jesus who demonstrated God's love so perfectly to people who don't care and demonstrated that he can lift them out of where they are and bring them into relationship with an eternal God who cares so much about them. That is such an awesome message, guys. You know, we had a guy by the name of Usama. We just call him Mr. Kasamu, but his full name, and you got to get this because it's a lovely handle. You can name your kid this, maybe your next kid this. His name is Usumani Hassani Aligi Kasamu. Wouldn't you love a handle like that? I'm sure there'd be lots of people who could make fun of you. But he found our leadership books in his pastor friend's home, and he said, oh, I like to read about God. Can I study this course too? And so he started studying. You know that he was a Muslim. Started studied our entire course and graduated. And I said to Mr. Kasamu, what impacted you? What changed your life? What impacted you the most about this course material? He said, you know what impacted me the most was when I read the story of Paul, who was persecuting Christians, often like my people do, and he found out who Jesus was. Isn't that powerful? You see, when people find out really who Jesus is, as distinct from what they think he is, it makes all the difference in the world. It brings change in lives. I want to talk about three things this morning that come out of this passage, okay? So you can track where I am and you can wake yourself up if you need to. I want to share three things. First of all, I want to talk about the feelings in the matter of sharing our faith. I want to talk about the fact of the matter, and then I want to talk about the faith of the matter, okay? And then we're going to the lion story, so don't lose touch, okay? So let's talk about the feelings in the matter. The feelings in the matter is that, simply to say, life is a very lonely affair. For you young people and even older people will already know what I've just said. Life is a very lonely affair sometimes. We search for intimacy our whole lives. That perfect person who's going to meet all my needs, right, young ladies? He's going to be the right height, just like your mom wanted, and he's going to meet all... Do you know what? And I know the adults in this room know that. There is no person who can really fully meet our needs. There's always a bit of loneliness in life because the true intimacy we seek, we can't find in people. And when we do, it's so fragile. My mom and dad, some of you may know them, Arthur and Gladys Lagore. I know they visited the church in years gone by. They are now 85. And they're just hanging on to each other because they can't think of possibly losing the other partner. They say, we're not waiting for the undertaker, they say to me all the time. We're waiting for the upper taker because we have to go together. And we can identify that with that, can't we? Because being alone is not a nice thought. It's a terrible thought. But the reality of life, and this is what Paul expressed here, the reality of life is that we have to be willing to go it alone. I want to speak to all the young people here and maybe some of the older people who haven't figured this one out yet. If you're not willing to go it alone in your personal walk, in your personal development, you'll never become anything. Your personal disciplines, launching out and doing what you should do, what you feel led to do. You need to be willing to go it alone. If you sit around and wait for everyone around you to say, oh yeah, that's cool, you're never going to do what's really important. You've got to be able to do it alone. And when you're willing to go it alone, that's when you will start to realize the awesome purpose for your life. How many of you know, even simply doing something as simple as running or physical exercise, if you wait for the partner who's going to run with you to run, he's going to let you down, right? I mean, that's as simple as it is. But in every area of life, it's the same. I remember when we when we started to become missionaries. And we felt called. I'll tell you what, it was a lonely affair. People kind of did not just get behind us. In fact, now we have people telling us how stupid they thought we were. They didn't really say it to our faces back then. They just weren't encouraging. So life is very lonely at times. Paul said, not only is life very lonely, here Paul said, ministry is even lonelier. When you seek to get out in ministry, you find out that people kind of go, oh, gee, this guy's off the wall. And as Paul found out, in his most desperate moment, everyone deserted him, he says. What I like about what Paul said is immediately that he says, everyone deserted me. You know what he says? May it not be held against them. How many of you guys know that churches are full of people who have been hurt by other people in the church? Right? Probably none of you, right? You're all in church, so you've never been hurt by someone. But many people outside of the church were in church, and sometimes someone hurt them. And the problem for most of us, and I want to encourage you with this, is unless we're willing to quickly forgive others, we're never going to be able to do what God calls us to do. We've got to let it go. We've got to give people and their weakness and their struggles to God. And even though they've hurt us because they sometimes abandon us, and they do it in a lot of different ways, we have to remember to keep our eyes on Jesus. As missionaries this past year, we've experienced again that sometimes we leave people, sometimes they leave us. Sometimes they have no choice in the matter. We had a young couple ministering with us. They've been with us for over 8 years now, Rick and Heather Neufeld. I don't know that you guys would have met them. Dave Neufeld pastors a church in Grunthal, Manitoba, and he came for a visit to Africa with his young son, and his son felt called, and he joined our team, him and his wife Heather. Awesome young people. They went to Brazil, did language learning. They've gone through all the language culture learning. The church in Grunthal was super plugged in because his dad was there, of course. You're very involved in a mission field where your son is. And so this last year, June came along, and all of a sudden we got the message that his dad, who had been taking ultralight lessons with his other son just to kind of build relationship with him, took the little ultralight plane up by himself and spun in and killed himself. And so all of a sudden we had to do everything we could to get Rick and Heather back to Canada. And Rick and Heather came back after the funeral and they said, Dwight, don't worry. God has called us to Mozambique. We're not going anywhere. I said, well, that's great to hear, but we just want you to do what God wants you to do. Well, 3 months went by, and a lot of difficulties with the family and with his mom and with the brothers, and poor Rick was getting calls 2-3 in the morning all the time trying to resolve issues, and the church, desperate for a pastor, trying to find someone who they thought could identify. Next thing we know, Rick gets a call from the church and says, we'd love you to come home and pastor the church. And wouldn't you know, the Lord didn't tell him no. So we kind of went through this thing, oh, we're getting abandoned again, you know. But we know that that's what God has for them. Right now, I'd just like to say to you, maybe God's calling you into missions. If he is, trust me, there are places to go, and we have openings. So you can talk to me afterwards, okay? But life can be really lonely, and it can feel bad when it is. But that's not the final issue in the matter, okay? The feelings of the matter are very, very real, and they tear us apart, but that's not the fact of the matter. And you and I have to understand from God's Word that the fact of the matter is just what we read and we sang this morning. It's unchangeable, it's unshakable, and it's unstoppable. And that fact is what Paul says when he says, but the Lord stood by my side. That's what Paul said. But the Lord stood by my side. And that reality, guys, is true and is the fundamental principle that will carry you through whether you're in a high-rise in Edmonton or whether you're in the oil patch or on the prairies of Alberta or in Grand Prairie or anywhere else, or even if you're in the bush in Mozambique. The fact or the principle that carries us through is that the Lord does not leave us. The promise of God to his people over and over again, if you go from Genesis all the way through, every man of God or woman of God that he called to do something, he promised them that he would be where? With them. That's right. He promised them he would be with them. And he gave them that promise to encourage them that they could do it. Because everything that God calls us to do, we can't do by ourselves. You guys can't build a church by yourselves. We can't run a mission by ourselves. It's not our work, guys. It's his. And he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? In fact, in Matthew, right, the last words when he gave the Great Commission, he said, Jesus said, and I will be with you. Even, in fact, he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, sometimes you can read things that Jesus said to his disciples, maybe you younger people, and you could say, and even older people, you know, was Jesus actually saying this for me, or was he just talking to those guys back there? I want you to know that this promise, Jesus is talking to you and me very clearly, because he said, I will be with you to the end of the age, and that word in the Greek is the word eon. And if you look even in Matthew chapter 1 or Luke chapter 1 verse 33 where the angel was talking to Mary, she said, and of his kingdom, speaking of Jesus, there will be no end. And they use the word, he uses the same word, eon. In other words, as long as Jesus is king, guys, he has promised to be with you and I, right? And so we have a promise that is unshakable and unchangeable. His presence has been promised to us, and you can go to so many different passages of Scripture. I just want to emphasize from what Paul says something. He says, the Lord stood by my side. How many of you know Paul could have used many different ways to describe that? In fact, Paul in Corinthians, he talked about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit lived in us and was with us, right? So he could have said, the Spirit of God was with me. Or he could have said, the presence of Jesus was with me. But Paul didn't. He said, the Lord stood by my side. And as I was thinking about that, looking at the word the Lord, the problem is many of us in church, often we use the word Lord so often, we forget its significance to us. The word that Paul used is the word kurios. And that word, simply defined, is the one who owns you and owns everything else. What Paul was saying was that the one who owns me was right there with me. How many of you guys know that you weren't bought at a cheap price? The one who owns you paid a lot of money for you. And when you come to Jesus as your Savior, when you say, I want to accept you, Jesus, I want you into my life, you can't just get him as Savior. He comes as Lord. Paul says, if you confess Jesus as Lord, right, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, right? So part of our relationship with God is recognizing that he's the owner. He bought us with the blood of his own son. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, when you pay a lot of money for something, you take care of it. Isn't that true? Even though on our planet, sometimes people pay a lot of money and they don't care about stuff, I'll tell you what, your father is not like that. Your father in heaven cares so incredibly about you. All you have to do is, as grandparents and as parents, you start to understand that much more, don't you? When you have kids and you realize how committed you are to their success. That helps us to understand how committed God is, not just to us, but also to our success. It's his work. It's his work. You are only a part of it, and you need to remember that his presence promised with you guarantees not only that you have his presence beside you, but that you have his help in sharing him with others. And that's something we need to consciously remind ourselves of over and over. I could say a lot more about that passage of Scripture, because where he uses the Lord stood by my side, even those words. I encourage you guys, when someone preaches, take that verse and go home and study it more. during the week, okay? Because if they told you everything that was there, you would really get bored and you would go to sleep and, yeah, you wouldn't get everything out of it. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to jump. So the fact of the matter is that God has promised his presence. But there's another more important and as important feature, and that's something that I've called the faith in the matter. The faith in the matter, Paul says here, the Lord stood by my side. That's the faith in the matter. The fact of the matter is the Lord stood by his side, but the faith in the matter is that Paul expressed that as a confident reality. How many of you guys know that there is no truth on planet Earth that can help you unless you believe it? Sometimes we think we believe things. Sometimes we may even say we believe things, but do we really believe them? In Mozambique, just this last couple months, there were three albino children that were stolen from their parents. The mother of one of the children and the other two children were just playing in the community, and so the kids were taken. The mother of the one child fought almost to her death to try to keep her child from being torn out of her hands, and the child was taken. The police said that their likelihood of recovering those children was slim to none. And the reason for that was because albino children in our context in Mozambique, now an albino child is someone who has no pigment in their skin. So even though they may be a black person, they look like a white person. But in our context, the people believe that an albino child's body parts are very powerful in witchcraft. And look what it does for them. When you believe the wrong things, people, the results are pretty horrific. It matters what you believe. And it's not based on what you feel. So many times in our charismatic event, Pentecostal circles, it's a lot about our feelings, isn't it, Pastor Corey? A lot about our feelings. I feel the presence of the Lord. It's good to feel the presence of the Lord. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes when we don't feel him, we think how somehow he's abandoned us. Isn't that true? There's a book written by Scott Gortner, and he writes in his book, the title of his book is called The Stories We Tell Ourselves. Now listen to this. Brief overview of the book. Many of us, he says, have the not-so-useful tendency to live in a world of our own invention, populated with invented versions of the real people in our lives. We invent scenarios with those imaginary versions of people, imaginary conversations even that we have with them. And then back in the real world, we act as if those imaginations are real or true. Everyone's just looking at me. Is there any identification? Manning, that doesn't happen, right? Okay, you're thinking. Good. But that happens to all of us when we encounter someone and there's a look on their face or even our husband says something to us or our wife. Most often it's the other way around. I know husbands don't think too much about what their wives say, but sometimes we do. We go, you know, what do they mean by that, right? What do they mean by that? Or a colleague at work or someone at church on Sunday, just somehow, they probably had a bad piece of beef last night. But we start creating all kinds of stories about what they think about us, and then we start treating them as if those stories are true. Because our stories create feelings. In fact, there's a guy by the name of Dr. Bill Warner. He says, in dealing with human beings, and any salesman will tell you this, the facts are secondary to feelings. Salesmen tell you stories, guys. They don't have to be true. They tell you stories, and then they emote feelings in you, and then you buy whatever they're selling, even if it's a lie. And that's true of us as human beings. How many of you know that that so often happens in our relationship with God? Something occurs, something happens to us, and we suddenly don't feel the presence of God, and we immediately conclude that he's not there. God, why have you abandoned me? Why am I all by myself in this moment? I'm telling you what, guys, that is so dangerous, because when you start telling yourself that lie, because that's what it is, if you've made him Lord, where is he? He is Emmanuel. He is with us. He doesn't leave us. But when you start telling yourself that lie because of the way you feel or the circumstances you're going through, trust me, you will not respond correctly. You will start reacting according to how you feel, and you will lose the day. But when you understand that his presence is not based on your feelings, you will find strength in that moment to draw on him and to impact the people around you. In fact, it was so interesting. There was a story on CBC. How many of you caught it, of one of the firemen? One of the firemen is actually an associate pastor in the Alliance Church in Fort McMurray. And he told the story on the news about, and they interviewed him, and they said, well, where was God in that experience? And he said, well, you know what? I was fighting that fire, and it felt like it was going to overwhelm us. And he said, I have to be honest with you. In that moment, I didn't feel God. I didn't feel God. But then he says, but my faith held me strong. My faith held me strong. You know what? I talked to a young lady who heard his testimony, and she said, you know, I can really identify with that. People all the time say how they feel God. I've never felt God. I don't know if he's real. And I said, that's because you don't have to feel him. You just have to believe his word. When you can bring yourself to come to the conclusion that his word is true, you can draw strength, because you can build your faith. And that's what holds us strong, is our confidence that when God says something, he meant it. And when he says it, he will do it. And for you and I, we can know that the Lord stands by our side. And he will give us the strength. So that what? So that we can be rich and happy and healthy? No. So that through us, he can do what he wants to do. So that through you, your life can impact others. It's about what we can do in this world. Not about how happy and joyful and full of stuff we can get, guys. And that is so important to understand. As I conclude, I'm going to tell you the lion story. But I still have to finish one other thing. Paul says to Timothy, the Lord stood by my side and he gave me strength. What I'm saying to you this morning is that when God is present, he will give you strength. Our God doesn't passively stand by. Sometimes we may think so. But I'll tell you what, if we acknowledge his presence, and this doesn't have to be when you're out, you know, facing a judge because you shared Christ. No, in every circumstance in life that tries to tear you down, that says that he's not present, that says your faith is worthless, in every experience where you don't know how to respond and you say, God, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that your promise doesn't change. In that moment when you say that and you tell yourself that and you speak to him, he will give you the courage and the strength. He doesn't give it ahead of time. And that's why many people don't step out and do what they should in life. But when you believe God, you have the courage to step out. When you continually confide in him, you have the strength you need to walk through whatever it is that life brings your way. And it may bring a lot of stuff. Mozambique's brought a lot of stuff to us. But I'll tell you what, God has been there for us. Okay, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth, and I'll conclude with this. We had a team from Grunthal that just came out, and they came out to help us build an orphan house, and that's a really cool experience. Again, you're invited. We have a lot of short-termers who come out and get involved, and when you do, as Pastor Corey has already said this morning to me, that when you go to a field, third world or developing country, another place, your heart gets connected there and you see a different reality. And that's really, really true. But they came out and they helped build this orphan house, and it was so cool. And then on their way home, they decided they were going to go to a lion park. And so they went to this lion park, and they were, you know, there were six of them actually all riding in this vehicle. It was a Land Rover. And the guide who was with them was driving the Land Rover. And he didn't bother telling them to keep their windows up, and so the guy had his window down on his side, and they were all looking at this lioness with her cubs here, and they were all enjoying this view, and Stan's sitting stationary with the engine idling. And next thing, a female lion came along the side of the vehicle and jumped right in the window and put her big, massive paws right on his knees. And he said, I didn't know what to do. I just froze. Thankfully, he froze. But he said, my wife took one look at this lion, and she let out this blood-curdling scream, which scared the driver so bad, he popped the clutch on the Land Rover, and it jerked the Land Rover forward. And when it did, the lion just dug its claws in, except it did get pulled right out of the vehicle. But in the process, of course, it cut his jeans and gave him two nice, deep cuts up his knees. So now he has really nice stories to tell about what it's like to encounter a lion. And he wants to keep his jeans, of course, as a good memory. Saying all that, I want to conclude with saying, when you encounter a lion, guess what? It's going to get your attention. It's going to get your attention. And there's a lot of things in this world. There's a lot of experiences you as a Christian are going to go through, as a young person are going to go through, and they're going to get your attention. It may be your friends who are telling you you're stupid for studying, or you're stupid for wasting your time doing homework, or you're stupid for getting your assignments in on time. Or whatever the case may be, there's going to be times where those things are going to get your attention. They're going to roar very loudly. And it's at those times in life you're going to be tempted to think that God's abandoned you. Those times you're going to think I'm all alone. But it's at those times we need to know that the presence of God is with us. And He will give us strength. Amen? He will give us strength. And I just want to encourage you guys. Can you all stand with me? Corey, is it okay if we get the worship team to come back for a minute? I don't even know what time you guys close. But when I'm done, okay, well, can the worship team come back? I love this guy on the, what do you call that box? Because our guys use that, right? Yeah. Yeah, the djembe, yeah. Yeah, it's so cool. And let's play the river, if you don't mind. Can we do that one as we just conclude this service? I just want you guys to not leave here without just really impressing on yourselves that it's not God who needs to remember stuff. It's we who need to remember stuff. And I want to encourage you, young people, take time in God's Word. Because when you start reading His story and you get His story deep into your soul, you'll stop listening to the stupid stories other people tell you. And that's what's important. When we hear His story and we are convinced of His story, He gives us strength to believe His story. And when we do, we can start making a difference in our world. You can start showing kindness to those who do wrong things to you because you know that they're only doing that because they're weak. You know they're doing that because they don't understand. Guys, God has such awesome purposes for you. And it's been exciting to hear Pastor Corey share what God's doing in the community and with the church. And just know that there is an enemy, there is a lion, walking around seeking whom he may devour, and he's going to find ways to try to tear you apart. He's going to. Don't allow him to do that. Allow yourself to understand that you are his, that you are the Lord's, and he's not going to leave you, okay? Amen. As we sing this song, let's just sing this song, and I just want us to commit ourselves to the Lord again of our lives. I want you to say in this moment, Father, you are the Lord in my life. And I'm gonna stop thinking selfishly anymore. I'm going to try to refocus again to say, you are the Lord. You are the one who owns me. Not only me, but everything I have. And I want to yield it to you today so that you can use me in the time I have left on the planet to make a difference for you. Let's say that to the Lord this morning. Let's sing. Can you guys lead it for us? To the river.